This message, obviously the enemy does not want us to share it. This is a message that is probably at least two parts. What I'm going to do today is lay the foundation so that everyone can understand the spiritual implications of what we're doing as a church and what is happening prophetically and what the spirit, the dominating territorial spirit is trying to do in hindering us from getting to where we need to go. If you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 9, the title of this message is The Jezebel Eunuchs. This is under spiritual warfare and prayer. We have done a general study of one of the most hideous spirits that is attacking the Church of Jesus Christ. And that spirit is not only a religious spirit, but it is the Jezebel spirit. And the Jezebel spirit, understand, does not have a gender. It will use either gender to accomplish its will. The spirit is a seducing spirit. It is a lying spirit, it is a manipulative and deceptive spirit, but what is the most hideous end of it? It is a murdering spirit.
Correct.
Okay? This spirit wants to kill us. This spirit is what is behind all the abortions that are going on in the land today. It is deceptive in thinking that, you know, women have the right to abort their children, when really what they're doing is they're offering their unborn child as an offering to Moloch, which is a demonic spirit. And this church is going to assault the gates of hell and take her place by assaulting this spirit.
Amen.
And part of that warfare is beginning today, because there are minions that she uses, which I call spiritual eunuchs or Jezebel eunuchs, who will carry out her work. Her, because Jezebel was King Ahab's wife. Amen. And what she is doing today is she is working through these individuals to literally destroy the prophetic voice, which is being rooted into the body of Christ, and literally trying to apostatize the apostolic move of these end days by the Holy Spirit. She works to bring perversion into the group, to cause set men to fall, to thwart the plans of God, and to hamstring the people of God. And everything that is in Scripture, as Paul said, that was written as an example for us. And we have to be students, not only of being in the Word, but we need to rightly divide the Word, and we need to rightly understand, the Word of God. And I know people that can tell me chapter and verse, and they're not living their life for Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that your lifestyle is being scrutinized by the Holy Spirit. And He will not put up with perversions of any kind. He will not put up with deception. He will not put up with lying tongues, gossip. He will not put up with that. 2 Kings, verse 9. We're going to read 38 verses. So bear with me. And then I will slowly take this thing apart, if we have time. And Elijah the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets, and he said to him, "Get yourself ready, Take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open up the door and run quickly and do not delay. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he arrived there, there were the captains all sitting around a fire. And he said, I have a message for you, commander. And Jehu said, For which one of us? And he said, For you, commander. Then he arose and they went into the house and he poured out the oil on his head and said to him, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, and I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Then the dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, Is all well? Why did this man come to you? And he said, You know, the man and his babblings. And they said, Ah, a lie, I tell you, tell us now, he said. And thus he spoke to me, saying, Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. And then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps, and they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. And the king Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted upon him when he fought with Hazael Smith. And I mean, these guys got to come up with better names, you know. It's bad enough to say it one time, but now through all the scriptures. Amen. And I will tell you the meanings. And Jehu said, If you are so minded, let us leave or escape from the city to go and tell it. If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it to Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel. For Joram was laid up there, and Ahazi, king of Judah, had come down from to see Joram. Now a watchman stood at the tower of Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and he said, I see a company of men. And Joram said, Get a horseman and send him to meet him, and let him say, Is it peace? So the horseman went to him and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, The messenger went to them, but he's not coming back. Then he sent out a second horseman and who came to them and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said to him, What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, He went to them and he's not coming back either. And the one driving is driving like Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Then Joram said, Make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his own chariot. And he went out to meet Jehu and met him at the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu, and he said to him, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many? Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, Treachery, Ahaziah! Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his shoulders. And the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, pick him up and throw him into the track of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember when you and I were riding together behind Ahab, his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, said the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord. And when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road of Beth-Haggit. So Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him also in the chariot. And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is by Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there. His servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem, buried him in his tomb with the fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and said, who is at my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. Get the picture. She falls down. He takes his chariot and horses, and we've all seen this thing, where the horses are just stomping the people. That's what was going on. They were literally stomping this despicable woman to death. Okay? Great picture in your mind. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, go now, see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, and they only found that her skull, feet, and the palms of her hands were left. The dogs had eaten her body. Therefore, they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by the servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on this plot of ground of Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuge on the surface of the field, in the plot of Jezreel, so that they would not say, here lies Jezebel. There is so much in this scripture, but prophetically I want to get you to understand that this warfare is against evil and good. And what is rising in the body of Christ today is this Jehu spirit, this warring spirit. As guys have been a band of brothers, dangerous spirit. A man that is dangerous, who is willing to turn against an evil king to right a wrong. Okay? That is what is happening in streams at this moment. There is a Jehu spirit that is rising up in us to the point where we are not going to be submitted to the evil that is plaguing the land. And people who are part and partisan to this will be stomped and vanquished out of the way. The church for too long has been subjected to this evil, and this evil has penetrated into the church to the point where the church is now calling evil good, and what's good, evil. Isn't that prophesied in the prophets? We are in the last days of this, and this is what is happening. Who knows what a eunuch is? What is a eunuch? And keep it clean. A castrated male. Okay, that's pretty good. What? Right. He was neutralized, all right. He's unable to procreate. It. Wow, baby, you've been reading my notes, haven't you? What has happened in the church today, and you look at it, there are very few men in the church. Really, think about it. Yesterday at Presbytery, we talked about our congregations, and I think Streams has a fairly even flow of male-female, okay? But in most churches, do you realize that it's roughly a 40-2 ratio? 40 women to 2 men. That is spiritual eunuchs. Okay? The men are absent at the realm of protecting God's bride. And what is happening is this Jehu spirit is rising up, causing men to finally become dissatisfied with churchianity. Okay? These men have no authority, but they will talk about everything that's going on in the church. They don't understand what's going on, but they will continue to thwart the things of God, and they will continue to look for their own needs in order to reveal to other people what is going on in the church. We call that airing out our dirty laundry. That's what these people do. In this scripture here, it's the prophetic voice of Elijah that instructs one of his servants, a student, to go and do something. The principle here is raising up and releasing. That is what that principle is active in here. We are about raising you up as long as the character of Jesus Christ is being formed in you and you have a heart to do the things of God, you will be given opportunity. And Elijah prophetically released one of his servants to declare the word of the Lord to Jehu. Now it's quite interesting that how they give this delineation of Jehu. Jehu's father was Jehoshaphat and his grandfather was Nimshi. Why three generations? Why three generations? God said, evil will be upon the land, and I will visit that evil upon the second and third generation. But my blessings will be upon my people unto a thousand generations. He's not a God that lies. Okay? Nimshi means God shall deliver. When he sees that this evil is coming on, that he has Nimshi saying, I'm going to deliver you guys. When a word of the Lord comes forward, it is prophetic when it comes forward. When God spoke today and said that he wants to pour out on you, you're not ready. God spoke to me, I shared this with Holly, God spoke to me that you're not ready because you don't know how to ask God to expand the tent pegs of your heart. So you can't receive what he wants to pour out. Because things have happened in your life that you want to hold on to. You want to be safe. You want to be secure. And God wants to open that all up in your life so that Jesus Christ can come out of the tomb of your heart to touch people's lives. Jehoshaphat means God judged. So now God is going to deliver. Now he's judged. He's judged the evil in the land. A second generation. We are in a third generation of the evil that is in this land. A generation is roughly 40 years. 120 years is roughly what is going on. It's kind of funny. If you look at United States history, that around 1900, the progressive movement was moving forward. The progressive movement is an insidious anti-God movement that wants to take over everything. I call it communism. You could call it liberalism. You call it whatever it is. I'm going to call it what it really is. It's communism by Jezebel spirit. Jehu means, I love this, God is he. God is he. He is God. God's going to see the deliverance. He's already made judgment. And he is going to do this thing. Didn't Jesus say the same thing? I am that I am. With Moses. He said when he came, I'm going to deliver you. And he is God. No matter what. This spirit wants to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. It wants to destroy the prophetic voice. You have been anointed. I'm the servant. I'm coming from Elijah. I've been here to tell you, you've been anointed to be kings and priests over this land. We call that dominion. Okay? Not dumb onions. But that's what Jezebel wants to tell you, that you don't have dominion. So we have this scene set up where Elijah sends his servant to go and tell Jehu, one who is representative of the body of Christ, what is about to happen. That what has been going on is a systematic destruction of the church of God's people. Where else will you go to find out that I'm telling you the truth? You can go to many churches and they're not going to tell you prophetically, apostolically, what is about to happen in this land. But I'll tell you, because me and my main squeeze, we talk. Don't you just love me? Wait till I put my gangsta on. Jehu represents the coming apostolic movement. And this apostolic movement, its job is to destroy sin, bring an end to the abominations which are in the land and high places. And it is to destroy every hideous practice that Jezebel deems within the body of Christ. Joram was the son of Ahab. He was evil, more evil than his father. Ahaziah was his cousin. Did you know that? It's his cousin. Jehu draws back his bow and he shoots Joram between his shoulders and blows out his chest where his heart was. I'm not going to get into that today. There is prophetic meaning in everything through this whole scripture. We see that his people have done the same thing to Ahaziah. His people. If you will, Jesus has shot and destroyed the enemy in the heart. He has taken it out and he has now expected his people to do likewise. This is why we're meeting so much resistance. This is why people are playing church. This is why people, God's people, need to get really serious about what's going on. All of us are going through it. And as Irene likes to put it, when you're squeezed, what comes out? Does Jesus come out? Or does the garbage in our heart come out? When we're working in the building and we're screwing the metal plates together, do we get frustrated? Do we get angry? do we curse under our breath? Or do we go, praise the Lord, that was nifty. I'm in this boat with you guys. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting in, I'm walking on water. I am. Whereas the song goes, walking on sunshine. We see in chapter 10 that here Jehu destroys two. His main focus is Jezebel, to destroy this spirit. But in chapter 10, he destroys all the males of Ahab's family. Even those who raised or taught them. We call them the priest who taught God's people to do evil. They're going to be destroyed. And this spirit that is rising up. I don't know about you, but I am so militaristic in how I think that I have to control this spirit. And the word says, you know, the spirit of the prophets is at the responsibility of the prophet. And a lot of you guys have said, man, you get intense. You're angry about something. Yeah, I am angry. I'm angry about what this spirit is doing to you and to your life and keeping you from the life of Jesus Christ and becoming the person that he created you to be. I am really PO'd about that. Because you guys are just starting to enter into this mindset of thinking, wow, am I really a king or a priest? Did God really mean that? Who talks like that? God doesn't talk like that. He does not. He talks in perfect language. You are a king and a priest. Satan speaks with doubts and unbeliefs and lies. Well, I wasn't feeling this, brother. I'll get my sword out and lop it off. I'm not a dumb onion. It brings tears to me when I cut it open now. I'm all misty. But what is going to happen is all the false prophets, all the false priests, all the false apostles, all the pretentious Christians, they're done. I'm declaring the word of the Lord. They're done. When they come into the house of the Lord, when they come into the house of the Lord at Streams, they're done. They will be exposed. They will either repent and get right with God, or they will be destroyed. Today we see a nation, and we see that the Lord has written for us to learn what is happening right now in this nation. And we can see that this prophetic voice, 2,000-3,000 years ago, is now coming to life in our generation. Jesus is coming, and I believe He's coming in this generation. That is why I am adamant about you getting your lives right. Stop playing around like you got tomorrow. You're not promised it. I thought I had tomorrow, and the enemy assaulted me. And it's taken me a year to get to this place. Now it's my turn to swing back. He swung, hit me, almost put me to my knee. Now I'm getting back up, and me and my father are going to clean his clock with your help. This is why I've been emphasizing for the last month or so the importance of discernment. We understand about the Jezebel spirit, but we don't understand about her eunuchs and how she uses these people. And starting next week, I'm going to start systematically taking this all apart through these scriptures in a way that you begin to understand. The prophetic speaks the life of the apostolic. The apostolic brings the nuts and bolts into the church to help the church rid itself of the garbage, the false teachings and all, to see truth, to live truth. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way for every believer. Only the make-believer makes fun of what is going on and systematically, continuously shoots themselves in their foot because they don't want to either do what God says or they're operating out of ignorance. Both are controlled by a spirit of Jezebel, which does want rebellion, does want us to look at each other and focus on each other instead of focusing on what is really going on. I am not deceived. I know exactly what's going on. And I don't say that with pride or arrogance. I say it because I've experienced it, and I know it's a reality, and it may be far flung from you, like, man, pastor's grabbing at straws. I am not grabbing at nothing. I'm handing the victory to you. We need to discern what's going on. We need to discern truth. We need to understand that if our lives are not lining up with what God has said for us to do, if all we're doing is saying we love you, but we're out to get you and to use you and abuse you for my own desire, you're part of the eunuchs. You're being used by a Jezebel spirit. You're deceived. You don't understand what the Master requires of you. And to name the name of Jesus Christ and live contrary to what He says and believing that, you know, God's grace, God is merciful and God is graceful, you're going to learn that God's also the God of judgment. And He doesn't play games or favorites. His favorite is Jesus Christ. And if you're not in Jesus, and I exhort you to get right before God, because where we are going and what is going to happen is you're not going to have time. I've tried to warn you many times saying that it's going to get real. Well, it's here. It's here. I can't protect you anymore. I've taken shots on behalf of the body of Christ. Now it's your turn to stand up. Are you going to be like Jehu and told this emissary to come out and say, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. That's essentially what Jehu said. You're not an emissary of peace. Get behind me. I'm attacking the main culprit. Jezebel is real. This spirit is real. When they talk about Leviathan or the constricting spirit, this spirit will wind itself around your life to utterly deceive you, to make you think that you're okay, and then kill the very life of Jesus Christ out of you before you even realize what's happened. And the next thing that's going on is you become doing the things that she wants you to do, not the will of God. I congratulate you. Because that happened to Irene and me a lot of times. And now we don't question, we just do it. We don't need to know. We just need to do it. Sacrifice is better. Right? Obedience is better, though. Obedience is better than the sacrifice. Because in the obedience, you learn more about who He is through you than you learn about sacrificing, because that's human effort. Human effort, when we put our sacrifice out there, it usually lasts for a season, and then it consumes us. God's not about consuming us in a way that would be detrimental to us. He's about consuming us to ignite us, to radiate His light, His glory. Each one of you is anointed. Each one of you has the potential to allow this Jehu spirit, this warring spirit, dangerous women out there too, not just men. God is speaking things to his people. So is Jezebel. And his object, one thing I want to point out to you is when Jehu came to the city walls of Jezreel, he shouts up and there's Jezebel there, and she paints her face up. Painting one's face up is masking a reality. We call that deception. Much like the Greeks, when they put a mask on in a play, you couldn't see who the person was. They were masquerading to be something that they weren't. God wants us to remove those masks. He wants us to remove all those things that keep us from each other. As I said in preparation of the bride, God wants us to get naked with each other spiritually. I had to say that Wednesday night too. But be so real with each other that it doesn't matter. We're not judging each other because, you know what, we're in bondage. And without the help of one another, we'll stay in bondage. We have to get real. We first have to get real with God and cry out to Him that we're in need. And the second thing we need to do is get real with each other. Remember, I am just trying to work us to get to the plumb line so this reality of the measuring line can be ours. That's what Isaiah said. That's what I've been 10 years laboring to get you guys. And guess what? Praise God. We're getting there. We are getting there. If I can rightly relate with God, be honest and forthright with Him, this thing will take care of itself. Why? God said to go do something. He's teaching you how to bless somebody. You don't know what that person's need was. God does. And they may have smirked and they made fun, but you know what? You heard your father and you did what he said to do. And it's hard the first time. It gets easier. It really does. But Jezebel would deceive you and lie and tell you all kinds of other things. And these people that operate from this position, and I have to teach you this before we get into the doors, because God has said to me that you need to have this teaching so you can discern people. Because not everybody that walks in the door says, I'm part of Jesus Christ, is of Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons. They're the biggest cults in the world. And when I sit down with them, I got to find out what Jesus we're talking about here. Their Jesus is not my Jesus. My Jesus is God. Is your Jesus God? Or is your Jesus a little g? And you're God. And if I'm making you uncomfortable, get ready. Next week you're going to be really uncomfortable. God's real serious about this end time move. He's not coming back just to come back and save us, although He is. But He's coming back for His bride. He loves His bride intensely. He loves you intensely. He loves you so much that He wants to pour out on you the blessings and the refreshing of His Holy Spirit into your life so that grace can abound more so. Paul says, where grace abound, sin abound. Now do we continue to sin so grace abounds more? God forbid. What you're doing is, you're doing what Hebrews says, is you're making a mockery of the name of Jesus Christ by treading Him underfoot, by cheating and making His grace cheap. We are not to be like that. We need to repent. We need, you know what? Half the people don't even know what repentance is. Repentance is not doing something. Repentance is a change of mind. You're agreeing with God. And then you agree with Him and work with Him to repair everything that you've destroyed. That's biblical repentance. It's not getting caught with your hand in a cookie jar, saying, I'm sorry. That is foundational. That is what we, when we teach foundations, that's foundational, is it not, Jen? Yeah. And if your foundations are not laid right, guess what? You're not going to operate. And it's important that we have five areas in which I call them the grace areas, in which we need our people to go through. And one is foundations. I don't trust what anybody else has put into your life. Oh, take one from column A, one from column B, one from column C. And now I have a hodgepodge of Christianity. No. That's not making disciples. It's not. It's making dumb onions. And you are not dumb. None of you are dumb. You came to Jesus Christ. That's the smartest thing that you and I have ever done in our lives. It is. The next smartest thing is to do what He tells us to do. Clean out our lives. Get rid of the junk. Get real. Get honest. Have integrity. Repent to those that we've lied to and deceived. Give back to those that we've taken from and stolen from. Return everything so that we have nothing that would hinder us. And in that way, our relationship with our Father would be restored, so that we can rightly relate one with another. Paul stated, I didn't defraud any of you. I didn't take anything from you. I poured out my life willingly upon you. And I do the same. I follow the example of the Master. It's time for you to do likewise. Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we thank You that You, in Your Scriptures, God, You educate us and teach us. Holy Spirit, You are given to us to educate us to the truth, to live the truth, and empower us by Your power to work grace into our lives, to eradicate everything that is displeasing to You. Help us to get honest with ourselves first. Help us to stop playing the game. Help us to really get real with You, Father. These times are dark, God, but Your light of truth shines ever so brightly, and we pray that streams would be that beacon upon a hill, that they would be drawn like flies and mosquitoes and whatever bug that is out there to the light, that they would be zapped by the Holy Spirit and their lives changed into the glory of Jesus Christ. And that we would train them, make them disciples, God, and release them into Your vineyards, into Your fields, into where You want them to work. God, You have such great plans for streams. You have such a heart for Your bride. You have such a heart for us individually. God, we need You. We need Your help. We need Jehu's spirit to rise up. We need dangerous men and women. We need people that hear the word of the Lord and align themselves to do Your will, God. Father, I pray that You fill the house of streams with the spirit of Jehu, with a warring spirit for men and women, a warring spirit of love, God, a warring spirit of discernment, a warring spirit that will expose evil and destroy the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, that will place You and value You above any and everything, God, that the high places that You talk about in Ramah Gilead, which is the high places of Gad, would come down, God. That we would tear all those things down. anything and everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we would pull down every vain imagination, every untruth, every lie and deception that comes out of us, God. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to convict us and to right the wrongs and give us the courage to go and make right what we have wronged. I ask that you be with us, God, that we prioritize your kingdom and you first and foremost, that we not just be people that would read your word, but God, we would let the word sit in judgment upon our hearts and be real to us, and we would live it to your glory. I thank you for your people. I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.